Today's scripture is found in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. That Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may the Lord add his blessing to the reading.
It's good to be here and want to welcome everybody to our church service today. I just pray that the Holy Spirit this past week has been good to you and been leading in your life. And if we allow him into our hearts, we know that we can truly follow Jesus Christ and follow his commandments. So once again, as brothers and sisters who worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that we continue to come back each Sabbath when we are able to do so. But we know that God is good to us. He gave us his only begotten Son so that we would not perish, that we could have everlasting life. And so we just pray this morning that we will truly be his forever and ever. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are your children. We pray for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives, knowing that you answer prayers. Your will be done in each of us. In Christ's name, amen. How many of you got an empty house? Anybody? I need a place to live. Anybody got an empty house? We know that as we live in our houses and our apartments that we have or wear, that we have many things. Many of them are necessities, and some of them are not necessities, I know. And we need to clean them out, but that's not the type of house that I'm going to talk about today. You know, as you will see, let's turn to Matthew chapter 12. I have a lot of verses today, so I won't be reading them all today because there's too many of them. But we'll start with chapter 12, verses 38 through 45. But I won't read all of them there, but that's what it is. It's 35. Yes, chapter 12, verses 38 through 45. There's the scribes and Pharisees seek for signs. And certain of the scribes of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign for thee. But he answered and said unto thee, an evil and adulterous generation seeking after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in a whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in a harbor. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is there. And then we see that there down to 44 and 45. Then he saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came. And when he hath come, he findeth empty, swept, and garnished. Then he goeth and take with himself his seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also under this wicked generation. We find there Jesus describing the spiritual condition of that generation in his day there, you know. He described them as evil and adulterous, as we read there in 38 and 39. He also commented that that generation would be condemned by the Ninevites and the Queen of Sheba in the day of judgment. Verses 41 and 42. And also in 40, verse 45, we describe as this wicked generation. And unless Reformation continues and we replace it with something positive in our lives and put it in a place there, you know, of the things that we have that are wrong in our lives, we know that the end proves worse than the beginning many times. And that was a case of the people in Jesus' day, and it's a case of many times in our lives also today, you know. And an important lesson there, trying to get to is how as it applies to us today. We must replace evil with good. That's the only way that we can be children of the living God, to get the evil out of our lives and replace it with good. And the dangers of an empty house, and I'm talking about the heart, our hearts, are like a home to us there. Matthew 15:19 and And it can recite things that produce much harm. And as we read in Scripture Meditation, Matthew 12, there 35a, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And so we can have these good things. Our houses can be cleaned. Our hearts can be cleansed. And we know that only through the working of the Holy Spirit. You know, Hebrews 10:22 and Acts 15:8-9. And our conscience needs to be purged of dead works. We have to get those dead works out if we're going to serve God. Hebrews 9:14. I pray that each one of us are working on that daily. We know that we cannot do it of ourselves. We have to have help. And we have the Holy Spirit working in our lives if we allow Him to do the work that He does there. And we're expected to fill our house or our home with good things. Ephesians 3:17 was our reading there, you know, through faith in Christ Himself, to have Him dwell in our hearts daily, constantly, to have Christ in our hearts. You know, it's a work to do, you know, but we know that we can do it. Colossians 3:15, you know, God's peace and grace are to fill our hearts. The grace and the peace of God in our hearts. We know that He graciously gave His only begotten Son to die for each one of us so that we can be like Jesus. And that's what our daily lives are to be like Jesus. And if we have a clean heart, we can do that. You know, even though there's going to be stumbling blocks, we're going to falter. There's everything that's in our pathway Satan throws in there to discourage us from cleansing our hearts, but we know that we can do it, you know. Even His law needs to be written on our hearts, you know. And God gives us all the tools to be able to do that. And what happens if we don't fill our home or our hearts? We know all the evil things that can creep in. You know, we have to attempt to fill the house with good things, you know. And if not, evil things find a way back in. If we've got them out, keeps going, devil keeps going, working at us, and those little evil things can creep back in if we allow them to do that, you know. That's where our will comes in, using the will of God. If we conform our will to the will of God, we won't allow those things to come in, those evil things to come. And if it does come back, though, it comes with a vengeance. It can hurt us badly if we don't allow these things. It comes back with a vengeance because we know that Satan gets that little hold of us that he continues to twist and twist all the way, you know. But if we constantly have Christ in our hearts, the devil doesn't have the chance to do that. He's still working there, but he's going to go to somebody else that's easier. He may leave you alone for a while, but then he keeps coming back. We turn to 1 Corinthians 6:11. 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You know, and here we see that the Corinthians were that way. They had been washed, sanctified, and justified. And it's the same for us today. We've been washed, we've been sanctified, and we've been justified. But if you read in Corinthians 12, verses 20 and 21, later on, they engaged in sinful conduct. They lost that edge that they had. 2 Peter 2:1, the false teachers had escaped the pollution of the world through the grace of Jesus. But in verses 20 and 21, they became entangled again. The latter end was worse than for them than the beginning, and that can be for us today. We allow these things to come into our lives. If we get entangled with the wrong things, it can be worse for us if we've got them out before and we allow them back in. And I know it's a work to keep them out, but we also know that we're not alone. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given us the Comforter. He's given us the Holy Spirit to work these things out in our lives. And I just pray that each one of us does that, you know. They just, you know, keep working at there. And how do things become worse than the first that they were in there? 2 Peter 2:15, if you would turn there. 2 Peter 2:15. which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the ways of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Your person loving the wages of unrighteousness. We know that we're not supposed to do that, and we just pray that we don't do that, you know. These false teachers had forsaken the right way. And we each know if we study our Bibles, if we study Scripture, we know the right way. We know right from wrong. And if we don't, then we better start reading the Bible. But God has given us this knowledge of right and wrong. In verses 14, their eyes were full of idolatry, and their hearts were trained in covetousness. And we know that each of us can have that too if we don't watch it. 1 Peter 2:1, they even denied the Lord that bought them. Each one of us bought with a price. We know that that's the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He wants to save everyone, but we know that that will not happen. There are the believers and there are the unbelievers. And we as believers are to go out to work for these unbelievers, to bring them into the church, to bring them into the fold of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that. But our hearts can be awful hard and become hardened with a willful sin. And I pray that each one of us will get that sin out of our lives daily. Hebrews 10, 26 through 29 tells us that we trample the Son of God, count the blood of the covenant a common thing, and insult the Spirit. And I pray that each time that we do that, we fall on our knees and repent of our sins. We need to do that daily for the Holy Spirit to work in each one of our lives. We know that we are sinners. Until Christ comes, we will be sinners, but then we will be changed. If we're not up from our graves, but we will be caught up in the sky with those saints that are of the past, and to be with Christ forever and ever. That's the great thing that I'm looking for, to the day that Christ comes to take me home and to take you home, to be with him forever and ever. We all need to work at that, and we know that we can reach that point. It's not impossible. But we need to be renewed again to repentance, and then again crucify the Son of God and openly pray that we don't openly shame him, you know. And it makes the following statement true. The last state of that man is worse than the first. And I pray that that doesn't happen to either one of us, to myself or to you, where the worse than the first. But it does happen. We know that. We must not let the home of our heart to remain empty. We have to fill it up with the Word of God. We have to fill it up with the Holy Spirit, with good things and not evil. And we know that we can do that through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And to fill that heart, you know, fill it with principle. We know this, sanctify the Lord in your hearts. 1 Peter 3:15. I pray that each one of us are doing that daily. We all know the word sanctify means to set apart, set aside a special place in your heart for God as a ruler of your life. We have to have that special place in our hearts for God, for the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the Holy Spirit can do his work. He is our comforter. Christ has given us that because he cannot be here with us. We have to be selective of what goes on into our minds. You know, that we have to think of things from above. Colossians 3, 1 and 12, or 1 and 2. In verses 16 in Colossians 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And in Psalms 109, 3 and 4, we have to follow the words of David. You know, and the things that we put into our minds have to be great and wholesome. Philippians 14, 8. Romans 12, 1 and 2, remember the transformation of character starts with a renewed mind. We have to renew our minds and renew them daily. You know, attend to all. We have to fill it in practice also, utilizing every opportunity to study God's word, attend all church services. I believe we heard this morning that the ones that attend church regular live 8 years longer. How many want to live 8 years longer? Yeah. Further on in that, we saw that people, because of following the health messages and things and doing what God wants them to do, can live 10 years longer and such, you know. So we know that we can have that much longer to work for Jesus. We do not know when he's coming. Only the Father knows that, but we need to be ready today. We need to help others be ready today. And God will take care of tomorrow for each of us. So I pray that we do that, you know. We need to read our Bibles every day. Psalms 1:1-6. We have to fill our hearts with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. For this is how you let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Colossians 3:16. We have to allow ourselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 and 19. Sing at church, at home, in the car. Sing alone and with others. I couldn't remember it. I had it down here, but I couldn't remember. But what's that saying about singing and need a paper bag or a bushel basket or something? Well, I'm one of them there. So this is a little bit hard for me to sing in there because I used to try to cheat in school past my music lessons because I would just fake it by moving my lips to get through it there. We need to choose our books and our periodicals, our magazines carefully. We need to choose our friends carefully. Here's some things sometimes, especially with young people, that can get them into a lot of trouble if they don't choose their friends wisely. 1 Corinthians 15:33. They're going to help you to be strong, or they're going to hinder your efforts to be like Jesus. Proverbs 13:20. So I just pray, young people and old, choose your friends carefully. Do that. 2 Corinthians 6:14-7:1. We can't have communion with darkness. We have to respect the light of God that he has entrusted us with. He's given us the light to show to the world. And as we there, what is the condition of your heart? What is the condition of my heart? Are we filling our hearts with all things that are good? I pray this morning that we are. But if not, we know that our hearts can be the abode of every evil thing, every evil spirit that Satan can throw at us. And if we allow them into our hearts, they will dwell there. And it's hard to get them out once again, once we do that. And if we do that, it becomes seven times harder to get them out, you know, if we allow them in again. If we experience the initial cleansing of our house, and that's our heart that I'm talking about. Have we been cleansed by the blood of Jesus in baptism? And that's the circumcision of the heart, as we learned in our Sabbath school lesson this morning. And we cannot be deceived into thinking that we don't need to be concerned about what's in the dwelling of our hearts. We have to keep the dwelling of our hearts clean. And we know that we can only do that through the power of Jesus. And he's given us the tools that we know with the presence of God in us, and it's all good. The presence of God living in each one of us as children of the living God. And as we close there today, let's turn to Acts 22:16 for the last scripture. Acts 22:16. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. He's given us his words to show us the way to do it. And I pray that each one of us will continue to live the life of Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, our hearts are given to you to cleanse them, Father. And we pray that you would cleanse them and that we allow no unclean things to come in, Father. You have given us the Holy Spirit to help us to be able to do that through his power. We pray that you cleanse us with hyssop and that we make the holy things of thine in each one of our hearts. Your will be done. In Jesus' precious name, amen.